shot at broke touch, doesn't deny his operations name, he is. Oh Lord, we need dark hours of time and troubles and tribulations we go through. We have no form to turn to but thee. Lead up on thy blessed, gracious Heavenly Father, and support that open and gracious, and pray that thou would support us. Lead us in the way that thou would have us to go. Lord, lead us and keep us from all evil and carry us on down these earth. We travel down to these roads through this life here while we sojourn here. Lord, thou hast been so gracious and good to us. Thou hast blessed us in so many different ways, both visual and natural presence. But oh Lord, the sweetest blessings that we have is by the blessings of those spiritual things and the things that thou hast been revealed and showed unto us. When they come back to us, O precious Heavenly Father, that is as fresh and new as it was the day it happened. But, O Lord, we pray thou would continue such blessings as we stand in need of, for thou knowest our needs when we are for that reason. O gracious Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for the ones that shall stand before us. They might come forth and beat thy sheep. Forgive them, gracious Heavenly Father. Bless the hearers that they might have a heart and mind and ear to hear and understand these things. O Lord, we pray that we might get a few crumbs and drops and not take the garbage. To feed these hungry souls where thirst for righteousness. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for the sake of our land and our country, especially those under a hospital upon a bed of affection. O Lord, if it be according to thy will, would thou restore them back to their Lord's health. Bless souls that's lost the love for one and a little one, gracious Heavenly Father. With thy wisdom and comfort for thy good Holy Spirit. Lord, I realize, gracious Heavenly Father, our heart is only the one that can comfort us. O Lord, we pray this morning thou would be with us in this service. Pray that the one that comes shall preach Christ and him crucified. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray this morning and thank the things that we in the dark so many times. But, O Lord, we pray that it be according to thy will, thou lift the darkness before our face this morning. And reveal those things from heaven above to us, gracious Heavenly Father, the things that we long and nourish for so much. Gracious Heavenly Father, that we may to think is that we sing this song, for it is the best of this I first knew when we first saw the moment. Seem like sometimes, precious Heavenly Father, all of this not taken away from us, there's nothing left there. But, oh Lord, we know that thou hast said thou would never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank thee, gracious Heavenly Father, we, gracious Heavenly Father, every promise thou hast made shall be fulfilled or God took him. Now, gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that for this little church, bless the flock here at this church, please each and every one that's represented here this morning, gracious Heavenly Father. May they go away from this place saying it was good to be here. Bless every church all over this world. Bless the elders wherever they may be. Gracious Heavenly Father, that thou goest now down through the even journey of thy lives and freely forgive us of all of our sins. God, when there comes our time to pass in this world, and thou give us a peaceful moment to the past, gracious Heavenly Father. And thou shall not have the show on earth in the banks of sweet deliverance there. For we can pray the same praises to thy great and righteous name, and praise thee forever and ever in eternity, for there shall be no end. And may these favors and blessings. We ask in that blessed Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.
Now I'll ask Elder Haygood to come forward and may the Lord God bless him.
Precious.
Don't make a turn that light on there if you need.
Sisters and friends, as we come this morning before you, feeling under the great need that God Almighty might enable us to say something that might be of a comfort and consolation and instruction and encouragement to you. It would seem like that this last week has been a very trying week. Many trials and tribulations along the way. And then when we come to the house of the Lord, feeling that we are so empty and so undone and unworthy. Especially to come before God's humble poor, to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been said that a minister's life is made up of three things: temptation, meditation, and prayer. I can assure you that the many temptations certainly have been in our lives, and the great conflict of sin that continually comes and is a living experience in our lives. And those temptations, yea, even it would seem that God's ministers and his people, and especially his ministers, that from time to time they seem to be a special mark for his children on their behalf, and that he comes and he tells us that we have not been called to the work of the ministry. He tempts us in various ways, but nevertheless, all of this morning as we come, as always, we must come wholly dependent upon the grace of Almighty God. And I am quite confident this morning that all the trials and all the tribulations and all the discouragements in which we must pass through, that each and every one of them does not come by chance, but according to the purpose, the eternal purpose of Almighty God. I would like this morning, just a few moments, feeling that Brother Glothling has come in and Brother Joe is now able to speak to you. And I would not want to take up very much time, but call your attention to the last verse of the 5th chapter of Romans and the succeeding 1st through the 5th verses of chapter 5. In most all of the scriptures seems like that they are pretty well divided in subjects, in chapter and verses. But this particular chapter, the chapter 4 and chapter 5, I don't think that we can get the full force and the full meaning unless we read first the last verse in the 4th chapter and go on in the 5th chapter. Here the Apostle Paul, he speaks. And he speaks to these Roman brethren, and he speaks concerning the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we interested in this morning? Even Paul said upon one occasion, he says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what we're interested in. We're not interested in man, because man at his best state is altogether vanity and vexation of spirit. But the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our all in all. And he says here, who hath delivered us? Who hath delivered us? Who was delivered? Who was delivered for our defenses? You know, Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, here is a crucifixion of the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He was delivered for our offenses. Question comes in our mind this morning, and there is two great thoughts that is prevalent in the world. One of these thoughts is that he was delivered for the offenses of every human being from the beginning of Adam to the end of time. But it would seem this morning, my precious ones, that the very words here, that it denotes and it makes a distinction from that. And he says, who was delivered? What? For our offenses. Our offenses. And our offenses does not mean our, does not mean everyone. But let me say, it's by the grace of God, from first to last, in this blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His wonderful deliverance and His wonderful coming into this world, His wonderful time when that He should hang upon Calvary's cross and when He should be delivered into the hands of men and how that they should crucify Him upon Calvary's cross. What was it for? It was for our offenses. It was for our sins. This is the most glorious and wonderful thing to experience in the world by the Holy Spirit, is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ And just to feel by faith that this blessed person, this glorious Lord Jesus Christ, that he went there and he went there for me. As another place it says, surely he hath borne our griefs, he hath carried our sorrows, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. He was delivered for our offenses, he rose again for our justification. Then Paul goes on and he says, therefore, because that he was delivered for our offenses, because he died upon Calvary's cross, and because of that, he says, therefore, being justified by faith. Someone told you, well, don't you see, all you've got to do is just have faith. Well, that would be well and good if that were so. If that were left optional upon the sinner. But you know, the Bible simply says that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So faith is a gift of God. And he says, therefore, or because Jesus was delivered for our offenses and rose again for our justification, now, therefore being something now that, you know, when Jesus died upon the cross, that was several hundred years ago. We did not experience that, though we was represented in that. But now then, something must be done in our lives for us to receive what? Receive that that Jesus did upon Calvary's cross. And the time comes for that to be done in our lives. And he says, therefore, being justified by faith. One place he says he was delivered for our offenses and he rose again for our justification. How do we stand this morning justified before God? We either stand justified before him or we do not stand justified before him. He either was delivered for our offenses and rose again for our justification, or he did not. If he did, and if he did for the whole human race, then, Paul could say, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now these is the consequences. This is the very thing that now, the very root and the very source and the very fountain of all blessings is what Jesus did upon Calvary's cross. And he provided in his death, burial, and resurrection for all of the blessings for all of the saints of God, both for time and eternity. Now Paul is speaking of some of the wonderful blessings that begins to flow from that wonderful deliverance upon Calvary's cross. And he speaks about it as justification in our experience. As it comes to be applied, experienced by us in time. Therefore, being justified by faith. Yes, now then, how do we receive it? We receive it by faith. No person, no, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And he says that faith is the gift of God. How are we to receive it? It's simply by him giving it to us. And we receive this justification by faith. And not only that, but we now begin to experience something else. Peace. Peace with God. You know, there is always a false, and there is always a truth. Where the Lord has the truth, sin and Satan has always got the false. In the world, in the wicked world today, they're going here crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Yeah, even the young people and older ones today is seeking peace in the things of time and sense. They're looking for peace, yes, in this time world, and their hearts and their minds is upon this natural peace that they might have and enjoy and gather together the things of this world that they might have peace. And yet even, I would dare say this morning that even you yourself from time to time have been guilty of seeking this peace, that from time to time you've said and you've looked forward to the time and say, well, if I can just get to this place in my life, if I can just get here, then I can sit back, then I can take my peace, then I can enjoy life. Here's Brother Reeves and Brother Rhodes and many more of you, some more of you that, as it were, have retired from the secure concerns and the things of this world. But now then, you find, yes, that so far as peace is concerned, that you had just as much or more back yonder in your life when you was working every day in your life and continuing on, so far as this world is concerned. I'm talking about a peace that he gives his people when they're regenerated and born to the Spirit of Almighty God. And he speaks to them and he says unto them from time to time. And this thing is experienced that not only once is it experienced. It's that peace that passeth all understanding. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I must hasten on here and speak very, very briefly in the next few verses. By whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand. Think about it. This is God's children. Think about the positive terms that Paul is speaking of. Not that we might have or that it's dependent upon anything that we do or can do or shall do. But he just simply speaks of it as this great source that, and this great fountain that flows out. And as it flows out in the lives of his children, they have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only so do they have peace with God, but it enables them to do something else. To glory in tribulations. There's a tribulation that I know that has existed, and you do too, the last few months. in your pastor's life. And I have seen the wonderful and glorious results of that tribulation. This great tribulation that he's went through with, that it is as it were has cut him loose more and more from the things of this world, placed his mind more and more upon spiritual and eternal things, and in that sense, I believe he, even this morning, I can thank God Almighty for sending this tribulation into his life. And he says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that what tribulations work something else. Work it patience. You know, patience is another fruit of the Spirit too. But here it comes out in our experience. It working patience, and patience what? Experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Here is what Jesus has done. Here is what has been done in the life of his people down through time, and what is being done this morning, and what shall continue to be done in the lives of his children while they sojourn in this little ground of sin and sorrow. And one sweet day, when he shall come the second time without sin unto salvation, yea, when that we shall sin our last sin, when that we shall have our last tribulation, when that he shall, yea, give us our last needed peace in this world, we shall lay down in our graves. Then we shall be in perfect peace. There'll be no more tribulations, trials, and heartaches along the way. But then, in the glorious and wonderful resurrection morning, he's coming again. And we are going to receive from this fountain, from this wonderful fountain, the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in perfection, to sing without ceasing the eternal praises of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and ever. And God bless the truth and partner is my prayer.
That was wonderful. I hope that we have all been given a picture in our mind, or a picture. Of course, we can't see it. We can't realize it. Of the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in delivering us from all of our offenses, and who has been raised again for our justification. Elder Haygood doesn't realize how well he hit the nail on the head when he spoke about my afflictions, and that I have attempted to pray to God to thank him for bringing upon me. And I'll tell you why. Because I was becoming so worldly minded that my thoughts and my desires were going after the things of this old world to the extent that something had to be done. And it was done. And in giving me an opportunity to meditate upon it, I have tried in my weak way to thank Almighty God that He did. Because I have felt closer to Him since. And it seems like the things of this old world have become so less important in my mind. This is on my mind, and it's been on my mind for a long time. As I think about the condition of our churches today, I was just reading in an article last night concerning Hopewell Church, how around 1900 that they had over 100 members in this church right here. When Sister Green and Sister Scoggins joined the church just before my mother did in 1916, they were 89 members in this church. What has caused the decline? What has caused disinterest among people? Is it not a cause? Is it this lukewarm condition that we have gotten into? And let me tell you, my dear ones, that I put myself at the top when I'm speaking along these lines. Because I feel that I know it to be true. Oh, how many excuses do we try to make, for instance, to keep from even coming to church? Let me read a passage of Scripture found in St. Matthew chapter 10. Excuse me, chapter 8. It says, here is a man speaking, and Jesus bid this man to come to him. And one another of his disciples that Jesus had bidded to come to him said unto the Lord, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. And what did Jesus say? But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. Think about that for just a moment now. Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. Oh yes, this seems to be a pretty important thing, doesn't it? To bury a man's father, that seems very important, and it is. But evidently this man was an unregenerate man. He was not one of those that God had shed his precious blood for. There's other earthly men out here. But the business of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes over all. It is something that nothing should come between, except sickness to such a degree that we're not able to be there. But these other things come first. That old song that we sang concerning, oh, for a closer walk with thee, concerning the idols. What does he say concerning these? He says, the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, oh, come and tear it from his throne. I'll worship only thee. Oh, you know, the thing that grieved our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the most was what? Was when the Israelites began to worship idols. Idolatry was a thing that grieved him in his heart the most. You might say, well, I haven't made any golden calves and anything like that to worship. But I tell you, my dear one, we have them right here in our bosom if we let these things come between us and our Savior. I don't care what they are, whether they be mother, father, child, or whatnot. Then we are worshiping idols that come between us and our Lord. So then, I'd like to I believe it's found in Luke. Elder Haygood, if I can't find it, maybe you can help, but I believe it's in the 14th chapter of Luke. Oh, yes. Beginning, if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the 14th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to this, because I feel it to be very important. And let me say to you, my dear ones, that if I love you as I should, if I have been called as your pastor by the Holy Spirit of God, then let me say to you, there cannot be a greater charity that I can give unto you than is to warn you of these things. Yes, to bring them into your heart and soul with power from above, that it will cause a fire in your spirit and in your heart, that you will have a great desire to do these things pertaining to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's look then at the beginning, at the 16th verse of the 14th chapter of Luke. And he says, "And he then said he unto a certain man, a certain man made a great supper and bade many." Oh, it's great supper. What do we have here this day? I believe that we were given to eat of this supper here when Elder Haygood came forth and was given to preach the precious things of Jesus Christ. It was food, was it not? Here is where that supper is, my dear one, where God's ministers are sent forth to feed his sheep, as Peter was given to feed. When he said, when the Lord said unto Peter, "Lovest thou me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, I love thee." He says, "Feed my sheep." So here is the banquet then of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to feed his people. I want you to know now that and they all were with one consent. Now he went out and bade them to come to. Yes, we send word out to people to come to church. Then they all with one consent began to make excuse. Oh, how easy it is to make excuses. How easy it is to make excuses to keep from coming to the house of the Lord for this great banquet. He first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of land, of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray, have me excused. There's no harm in buying a piece of land." But it shows here what a little puny excuse this is. If this land was so important to this man, why didn't he see it before he bought it? Why didn't he see it before he bought it? But it didn't seem like it was that important until time came from him to come to the house of the Lord, and then excuses began to rise. Yes, and another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." Well, there's no harm in this either. But let me tell you, my dear one, where the harm is when it comes upon the Lord's day. So we go on to the next. And another says, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Oh, what excuses. And what excuses do we use sometimes? And I am the most guilty one in here, my dear ones. Yes, I am the most guilty ones in here. What excuses we use sometimes. Or, "Our children are coming." He married a wife. Or we might say, "Our children are coming. I've got to stay at home and feed them." Or, "My neighbor is coming over." Or, "I plan to do this or that." But let me tell you, my dear ones, they will not suck. They will not mount up to the excuse that is needed. No, they will not. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. And the master, which is Lord, the master of the house, being angry. Yes, I believe he was angry with me, Sister Green. And I believe that I was taught something different. And I thank God for it. I thank God for the feeling that I have today, more other than the feeling I had 6 months ago, even though I've gone through much. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hire the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highway. Now I know that these first people here, that I believe that Lord was referring to the Jews, but I believe that he brings in the Gentiles also here. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. When we read the word compel them to come in, it doesn't mean that they are to go out there and grab them and manhandle them and bring them in. It doesn't mean that. But it means to compel them by the truth as it is in Christ Jesus to show them, my dear ones, that they cannot serve two masters at one time. That they must either leave the one and go to the other, or vice versa. The Bible says ye cannot serve two masters. If we cannot serve two masters, choose thee the one then that you're going to serve. Which one are we going to serve? Oh, I trust that we'll be given faith, that we'll be given love for this great Jesus Christ of ours, who came down here, suffered, bled, and died for our sins. My dear ones, if we look at what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done in our behalf, what are we going to do in his behalf? Oh, isn't it something to think about, my dear ones? It is indeed something to think about. If it doesn't stir our mind, and if it doesn't start a flame in our heart to act. Oh, I know there's some might say, well, I can't do anything unless the Lord moves me. I know it takes the grace of God. I'm not talking here before you to a bunch of dead-eating sinners, but I believe that I'm talking to the children of God. I believe I'm talking to those who have been born again of the Spirit of God. And if this be true, then what the Scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now this salvation that's spoken of here is not that eternal salvation that Jesus Christ worked out to the jot and the tittle when he came here upon the face of this earth. It's not that salvation, that eternal salvation, but it's the fruit of that eternal salvation. Yes, it's that inward salvation that we have. It's that experimental feeling that is brought about in our heart and soul. And my dear ones, I believe that it brings forth actions too. I don't believe, we have been accused of it, and I can understand to some extent why. We have been accused of being a people that sit on the stool of do nothing. But I tell you right now, if we be the children of God, we're going to perform good works. Yes, we are, because it's God that worketh in us. And we should strive, my dear ones, to with every ounce of strength that is in us to perform these things. The Apostle Paul, you might say, I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing. Well, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheth me. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheth me. I believe if we have a sincere desire in our minds,
to go after these things of Almighty God, and He's going to give us the strength to pursue after them. I can't keep from believing that, my dear one. I know that we have this old flesh. Yes, it's a warring against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to each other. But pray to God that He will bring this old flesh, the weakness of it, down, and that the Spirit may lead us into the things of Almighty God. Oh, if we could but have that. And the Lord said, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." No, let them go out there and do the things of this world. But I'll tell you one thing, they're not tasting of the Lord's supper. There's no food there for them. So I thank God, my dear ones, that He gathers His people, that He gathers those that are hungering and thirsting after the things of Almighty God, and they shall be filled. If any man come unto me and hate not his father, listen to this now. Oh, this is strong language, but I'm glad it's strong. We need it. Every one of us need it. The 26th verse says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he shall not be my disciple." Now that doesn't mean to hate them as we think of hate. It doesn't mean that at all. We're supposed to love them. Love our wives. Love our children. That's the teaching of the Scriptures to do these things. But what does it mean? That they are not to come between us and our God when it comes to time that belongs to the Lord. Then, my dear ones, that time is His, and it should be His. And if we do anything else concerning that time, then we're letting these things come between us and our Lord. So then, regardless of where it is, father or mother, sister or brother, wife or children, yea, even our own life. And if we do not forsake these things when it comes to the things of God, then we're not fit to be His disciples. We're not fit to be His children. If we could only get a glance, if we could only get a glance, a full view of the sufferings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on behalf of His people. Oh, what? He left the glory that He had with the Father to come down here upon this earth of sin and sorrow to suffer, to bleed, and to die for His people. Oh, you say, that's the great thing. Well, how great is it to our minds and our hearts? Just how great is it, my dear one? Is it great enough that we have a desire to forsake all of these worldly things and to go as much as in us is after the things of Jesus Christ, of His teaching? All we have to do is to read in the Scriptures, and we'll find these teachings and these commandments. He says, love not the things of the world. Love not the world, He says, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Is that something to think about? And He also says concerning these others, I realize we're in this world. We have to have jobs. We have to tend to these things. But we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the Lord's Day. My dear ones, should be set aside. And nothing should hinder us from attending His supper except sickness. Our way to get there. You know, our forefathers traveled miles and miles and miles in wagons, getting up as early as 2:00 in the morning in order to get to church over rough roads, through all kinds of weather. Yes, there was a fire there then, but where is the fire now? You know, I blame the ministers. I blame, if I be a God tall minister, I blame myself. Because what? We have had a tendency and a desire many times to bring forth smooth things. The things that will lure you to sleep. And you know, a group of people that have been lured to sleep by smooth things, they are in a lukewarm condition. And that's the worst condition that a church can be in, according to the scripture. It is better to be either hot or even cold than to be in a lukewarm condition. So why? Because if we're hot or cold, it's movement there. But if we lukewarm, we have a tendency to become drowsy and sleepy. And he says, what? I will spew you out of my mouth. Listen to the words of the Lord coming from a source that cannot lie. Oh, that could go on and on and on. But my dear ones, let us strive to do these works. You might say, well, you're getting a little bit long on works. Yes, I am. I intended to. I feel like works just like James does here. You know, the apostle, as far as works in order to obtain eternal life are nothing but filthy rags in the carnal mind, the carnal man, the natural man. But when they have been born again of the Spirit of God, I feel like James here when he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. These are good works. Yes, pursuing the things of Almighty God. And he also says, but O thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. If we have a dead faith, we have nothing, do we? If we had a dead Jesus Christ was still in the tomb, we wouldn't have anything to hope for, would we? But the fact that he is a living Christ and he is now at the right hand of the Father, that's where our hope is in a live Christ. So we want a live faith, do we not? This faith, of course, is a gift of God. Yes, it comes from Almighty God. But if we have this faith, then may it bring forth works. May we strive to do these things with all of our heart and our mind. Oh, I would ask you, my dear one, to go to the banquet place of the Lord as often as you can. Just as often as you can. We have a banquet place around here somewhere every Sunday that you can go to. If you don't have a way, call me. I'll see that you get there, Lord willing. Let's try to go to the banquet house of the Lord. If he has done so much for us, let's strive with all the might that he has given us, all the power that he has given us to go. Blessed be his holy name. Oh, there's so much here that my mind is on. And this all has come about during my illness. And I thank God for it. I feel like that I have been brought somewhat out of this old world to some extent. And I thank him for it. Even though I was very much concerned for a while, but since that time I've been shown a few things. And I hope that he doesn't have to go to the extent concerning you to show you these things. I hope he'll give you a heart to go. We have some here who have been given hearts for a long time to go. To go every opportunity. May God continue to bless them with faith. To continue to have this great desire to the very end of their earthly journey here.
upon the face of this earth. May God bless the truth and the pardon in the ear is my prayer.